All right, we are rolling around here with one more hour left on the Game Blitz till midnight. Myself, Elijah Campbell, Big Kenny with you tonight. A great, fantastic opening night of high school football in the playoffs. Round one has been simply incredible. Big games, upsets, overtimes, a lot of things going on. So it's time for a scoreboard update. Elijah, take it away, brother.
That's right. We'll go ahead and start off with the first upset of the night. That was Adamsville beating Richland 35-34. Beach took down McGavick, 49-22. Blackman beat Cookeville, 49-20. Sorry, Elijah. Brentwood, one of the only four teams in their region to get a win against the Memphis team tonight. They beat Collierville, 17-7. Cane Ridge with an impressive shutout of Gallatin, 48-0. Clarksville ends John Overton's season, 47-14. Clay County blows out Sale Creek, 49-0. Coffee County in overtime for the first playoff win in school history, it's George Creek, 28-21. CPA beat Boyd Buchanan, 27-16. DCA blew out Fayette Academy, 48-13. East Nashville escapes against White House, 14-10. East Robertson blows out Polk County, 55-28. Fairview takes care of Maplewood, 47-6. Fayetteville scores a whopping 75 points as they beat South Fulton, 75-28. FRA beat Knox Grace, 49-27. Germantown takes down Ravenwood in the only 4-1 that I know of tonight, 30-20. Giles County beat Brainerd, 46-8. Gordonsville over Lookout Valley, 49-8. Lakeway Christian beat Clarksville Academy, 43-42. That's a thriller. Lebanon in two overtimes beats Riverdale, 41-34. Lewis County takes out Cascade, 32-24. Marshall County beat Chester County, 49-17. Monterey took care of Happy Valley, 40-6. Moore County beat McEwen, 28-14. Mount Juliet beats Lincoln County, 43-6. Mount Pleasant shuts out Scotts Hill, 41-0. MTCS, their season continues. They beat Tipton Rosemark, 45-14. Nolensville blows out Wilson Central, 41-3. They got Sparta next week. Oakland beats Shelbyville, 65-0. Page blows out Green Hill in impressive fashion, 48-21. Pearl Cone shuts out Jackson Southside, 38-0. Hope John Paul, with the return of Kenny Minchie, beats the Fighting Michael Orrs at Briarcrest, 35-13. Smith County beats Sycamore, 41-0. Smyrna takes down Hendersonville, 27-3. Springfield beats Memphis Central, 27-7. Stone Memorial dominates Hickson, 37-0. Upperman beats Chattanooga Central. They pound the Purple Pounders, 34-7. Waverly, they beat Stratford, 52-24. Westmoreland, in a thriller, they beat Meigs County, 16-12 at home. White County made history for the first time in school history. They won a playoff game. They beat Franklin County, 49-30. York Institute all over Cumberland Gap. They won 60-8. Chattanooga Tyner beat Trousdale County, 47-14. Chattanooga Christian escapes a tough test from Good Pastor, 27-7. East Hamilton ends DeKalb County season, 21-14. Red Bank ended Macon County season by a score of 21-14. Portland, with the upset of the night, they take down Southwind 11-7 on the road. MUS survives the upset bid from Father Ryan. They win 17-10. Lexington with a surprise blowout of Greenbrier by a score of 40-6. Henry County taking care of business. They beat Dyer County 49-14. Hardin County ends Creekwood season with a 14-7 win. Jackson Christian beats Columbia Academy 49-14. Bledsoe County shuts out Harpeth 22-0. Cannon County season ends with a 31-7 loss to Loudoun. Davidson Academy beat North Point Christian 29-14. Houston beat Independence 27-10. And Munford escapes with a win against Clarksville Northeast. That game was 36-18.
Well, I like the dramatic pause.
Player for the dramatic, yeah. My computer froze on me. That was the last one that I had typed up too.
Oh, my goodness. But yes. Well done there. Good job. All right, we'll still have some more coaches out there. Chris Hughes, if you're out there, answer your telephone because this is important, all right? We want to talk to the Fairview head coach. All right, let's go to 6A bracket real quick, Elijah, while we try to get these coaches on here. Next week, Coffee County, Blackman. Thoughts immediately from that?
That one is going to be a raucous environment. Coach Tigard talked about it when he came on with us, the whole town is behind that team, and Coffee County has they can hold a decent amount of people there at that stadium, a really old venue to say the least, but it is a quintessential kind of high school football venue. That one's going to have a great environment. Cannon County is going to have to get a ton of stops. And I just don't know if I think that's too tall of a task. That's probably an easier way to put it, just because that Blackman offense is so good. You heard Coach Tygart say he was disappointed with only cranking out 430 yards of total offense against Cookeville tonight. They're going to be on their P's and Q's next week, but it still should be a good game. I think Coffee County is going to make it closer than a lot of people think.
Well done. All right, we'll get back to our breakdown of the brackets here in a few moments. Let's bring in Chris Hughes, head coach at Fairview. They got a big win
there
tonight.
There he is.
Over Maplewood. Coach, how are you tonight?
Well, I've been better, Joe. I'm a little bit under the weather, but a playoff win makes you feel a lot better.
Oh, I'm sorry, Coach. You didn't have to. You could have said
it. You know, I know you wouldn't. You know what? I don't get very hopeful. So it's happening a little bit this week. But I tell you what, our guys played lights out. I'm going to have to get sick more often.
Are you there?
Oh, did you hate me?
Yeah, we got you there. All right, you win over Maplewood 46.
You started making fun of me. I hung up.
No. All right, you win tonight, Fairview, over Maplewood 47-6. Now you wait Smith County. Do you know anything about Smith County? Do you even know where Smith County is, Coach?
Of course I do. I've been to Smith County. We got put out there last year, Joe.
So
we got fond memories of Smith County. And way back in the day, we eliminated them at their place. I don't know that they've been to our place, but this will be the third time I've been to their place. We know they're big. We know they're physical. We know they like to run buck sweep. We know their defense is stout. And, they had a big win against East National last week, and they handled Sycamore tonight. We know we got our work cut out for us, but hopefully we can channel up what we did tonight and go to Smith County and play a physical style football and come out of there with a win.
All right, so what was working tonight for you guys? Did you run any plays that I've given you lately, or what did we do here?
And we know what? We saved it, so we're going to use it next week. We had Big Joe. We had Big Joe with the Roger Bunch. We put a little twist to it, and we had it ready to go. We didn't have to use it. So on nights like tonight when things are running, tonight it was just him laying the ball, him Crawford the ball, and let Mays do his thing at quarterback, and we moved the ball pretty much as we wanted to. And defensively, Cade Johns and Wendell Billingsley. Wendell Billingsley was all over the field tonight. He had a pick. I think he had two fumble recoveries and caused a couple more fumbles. So he was lights out on defense. And the thing about last year when they got us is we didn't have Cade Johns and Crawford Claps, and they were both out. So it'll be good to play Smith County at full strength this year. They got us 19-7 last year, and it was very humbling up there. So hopefully we can match up a little better with them this year, but I know they're a really good football team.
Talking to Coach Chris Hughes from Fairview. And, Coach, I mean, obviously getting the win tonight was really big, but it's also impressive to do that coming off of an emotional loss like you had to Waverly last week. And with 14 to 18-year-olds, it can be difficult to kind of make that turnaround and have to kind of move, turn the page here. But your team did a really good job of responding to that adversity and winning tonight. What was this week of practice like in terms of putting the loss behind you and kind of moving forward towards a bigger picture?
A lot of sour grapes. That loss to Waverly sucks. And, things go right, we might get another chance at them. But we were practicing with some piss and vinegar because nobody was happy about that. And, our goal was to win the region. We fell short. But I told them with Smith County, a lot of people consider that an upset with East Nashville. We figured this was the road we were going anyway. So you got to play Smith County, East Nashville, and Waverly to come out of this mid-region anyway. So we're okay with the order of things. I'd rather it be at home. But I think our guys really focused in this week. And, they know this senior group is a really special group. And any game now can be your last one. So the focus was extremely well this week. And I hope we can have that same focus this coming week. And I feel like we will.
Mm-hmm. And, Coach, last one for me, too. What's one thing about your team that's kind of gotten better as the season goes along that makes you guys feel like you can run the table, avenge the loss from last year against Smith County, and be able to make it out of a really, really competitive middle region?
I think the way our guys are communicating on the field, I think understanding, like, Mays' grasp of the offense is way superior to what it was week one with Paige. He's really came into his own. I think defensively with Wendell back there kind of running things, I think there's a communication factor on both sides with those leaders and people seeing how they fit into the puzzle. And just everything is gelling together. And you know how it is in the playoffs. It's whoever gets hot. It was that Stratford team that had won three games. It went all the way to the semifinals. And I told our guys, I said, nobody knows who's coming out. Anybody can beat anybody, and we've got a chip in the chair, and we're going to be a tough out no matter who it is. So I think our guys, the communication, the way they're feeling about things, understanding the defense, understanding the offense, we're head and shoulders above where we were earlier.
All right, before we let you go, Coach, I don't like to call this old. I call this seasoned. But Elijah and I were talking about 3A football. Have you ever seen it this competitive and this fantastic?
It's really competitive until you get to that last game. But, you know, Alcoa is just – until somebody just, you know, knocks them off, they are, you know, there's the joke is, Joe, you know, in 3A you're playing for a silver ball. But as far as competitiveness across the board, 3A, even the west side and over to the east side, everybody is comparable. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it would not surprise me any of the teams left in ours come out of it, and it wouldn't surprise me if any of the teams out west had come out of it. Like, it is very competitive, and it's been a long time since teams were this even, where you don't have these lopsided scores and people beating people real bad, and you know who's going to win before the game starts. Because those in the old days, you know how that was boring. Because basically we're playing rounds for no reason.
Right.
So now there's a reason to play every round, and I do like the competitiveness. And you know what? As long as Alcoa is that standard, you know, get that gold ball, you got to beat them. I'll always say people are like, well, why don't you move up? You're just playing for a silver ball. And I say, well, you give me one game against Alcoa, and I'll throw everything at them and try to figure something out. I like the chance.
I love that. That's fantastic. Coach, thank you. Get well. We want you at 100%, Coach. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you next week. I'm sending my drone that way. Be there in about an hour, so good luck.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Coach, thank you. All right, we'll take a break. Hey, Elijah on this side, we got Doug Green, the head coach at Coffee County, is going to join us next. Don't go anywhere. They got a great win, and we've jumped on this bandwagon too. All right, this is the Game Blitz. Back with more after this. All right, welcome back here to the Game Blitz at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Let's bring in the head coach of Coffee County on the Elijah Campbell phone line, Coach Doug Green. Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. We were just over the moon excited when we got the score that you guys won tonight. You've got to be on cloud nine right now with you and your team and everything. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're all very excited. It was very emotional when we figured out we'd won, and we stopped them in overtime.
Yeah, you know, we get the update that you guys, you know, Stewart's Creek, the updates we were getting there, you know, control of the ball game, and I'm thinking, oh, it's been a great year for Coffee County. And then I find out you guys win in overtime. I mean, what was that like, your team battling back and winning the game like that? What was that emotions? What was it like, and how did you get the job done tonight?
Well, we went into halftime, and we're a little kind of made some adjustments, and you know, told the kids we'd been there before with Lebanon, and came out and made some plays second half, and were able to tie it up. And I think I think we kind of wore them down a little bit too. We went up tempo second half, and that helped us too. But it was a lot of people in town. We're excited.
Well, I can imagine. Yeah, Coach Green's on the line with us right now from Coffee County, and a big win against Stewart's Creek tonight. And Coach, I mean, talk about the history of this program getting this win tonight. But what's it been like in the community, being able to rally around this team to not only just win the region title, but win a playoff game? And what was that atmosphere like? And what do you expect it to be next week when you guys host Lebanon?
It's incredible. We had a pep rally on the square last night. Had all kinds of people come out, and just from the town. It was a really good memory for the kids, for the players and the band, and cheerleaders. And then, it's the first playoff win in school history. And I think 9 wins hadn't been done since 1965 here. So we're just people are showing up, and they're just so loud. And our fans were just extremely loud tonight, which was awesome. It's a great atmosphere. So, yeah, I'm expecting the same next week. It should be electric.
Yeah, and, of course, the test next week, of course, you'll need the environment to be raucous just because Blackman's coming in with a high-powered offense. What do you know about them this season, and what's going to be the challenge like to at least try to slow them down to be able to keep yourself in it?
Well, they've got a lot of speed, and they have a really up-tempo offense, and it's hard to sub out. They can kind of get you. They play so fast, it's hard for you to, really scheme what they're doing. So it's going to be a big challenge for our defense to rise up and adjust to that. You know, the same thing on offense. We've got to make sure we don't waste possessions. And of course the other piece of the game is always the kicking game. We that's a big part of what we do. We try to win the kicking game. And all I know is we'll be ready. Our kids will play hard. It'll be physical, and we'll see what happens.
All right, we're talking to Coach Doug Green at Coffee County. All right, Coach, we've been on the bandwagon now for a while, and I know you had senior night last week and everything. So, again, let's get it out there for everybody. You got Blackman coming in there. They put up a ton of points. We had Coach Thigard on earlier. He's even hoping that it's sold out in a packed house. What do you need from the community? Just the same thing you've been getting for the last couple of weeks, just to support and come out and give everything they have for you guys this Friday night?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's just I hope the community shows up, and I hope that place is rocking and everybody's having a good time. And like I said, it's just really good for the community to see all these people coming together and just rallying around our team . I think it'll be a great playoff atmosphere. It'll be what Tennessee high school football is all about.
Absolutely, Coach. Thank you for everything, for answering the phone, talking to us, and we love the success you're having. Even though we've never been to Coffee County and seen a football game in a long time, we're part of the team. So we're with you, Coach, down here. So thanks for everything, Coach. Congratulations. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Coach Doug Green and Elijah. I love coaches this time of year because about every coach we've had on tonight, they have no voice, and I love that.
I've always been in my head, I'm playing the game, are they sick or they just have no voice? They're just hoarse,
right.
And I think that one's definitely the latter. You talked about how crazy the atmosphere was, and if you want your players to hear you in that atmosphere, you kind of have to raise it up a little bit in the volume department. And you can definitely tell that Coach Green, his vocal cords left it all out in the field as well as his team did tonight. So you can, that was evident there in the interview.
I love it. All right, we'll take a break. On the other side, we're not going to do a scoreboard update. We're going to give you the matchups for next week. I'll throw the game out there. I'll get a quick reaction from Elijah. We'll break down all the brackets for you as we move to round two of the high school football playoffs. You listen to the Game Blitz right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the Game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy and Apple Collision Center. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz here, 102.5, 106.3 of the Game. Let's go back to the phone lines, brought to you by Elijah Campbell Enterprises. The head coach of the Oakland Patriots, Kevin Creasy, joins us as his team knocked off Shelbyville tonight, 65-0. Coach, congratulations. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate going. Get the job done tonight. Let me ask you this, Coach. You take out a team in Shelbyville at 1-9. It's not your fault. You got to play them and everything. But how do you kind of, and it's kind of been a theme tonight, how do you keep your guys, look, this team made the playoffs. They got something going on. How do you make them not be so, approach this game being so overconfident that you get beat? How do you do that?
Yeah, we flip on the film and we saw Shelbyville had two or three guys that we thought were really good, two or three guys that could start for us. And also remind them that 0-0 is what everybody's record is going into this playoffs, So you want to go 1-0 every week and, fortunate enough to do that tonight.
As we talked last week, and I think that I've told you this, and you know, you see him every day. I don't get to see him every day, but I think your team is angry now. Is that a good assessment after what happened at CPA that you guys have come back out and said, we're angry now? Have you seen that kind of attitude from your team?
Yeah, a little bit, no doubt. You know, definitely more hungry than, you know, what we were a few weeks ago, and definitely got our attention a few weeks ago. So I think our guys are definitely well aware that anyone can beat anybody, no matter what their record is. You know, the team that beat us, I think they were 3-4 when they beat us.
Right.
You know, 3 wins, 4 losses. And so you got to watch those records. And if you pick at those records too much, you will get in trouble.
My coach, Kevin Creasy, his Oakland Patriots got a big win tonight, 65-0 over Shelbyville. And coach, I mean, obviously, in a game like tonight, a lot of it is just executing the game plan and moving forward. How do you kind of prepare for a lot of these teams? I know you didn't play Lebanon this year, but they just got out of a double overtime game against Riverdale. What's the challenge of preparing for these kind of playoff games, especially in the ones that your team didn't play the other team in the regular season?
Yeah, you know, we're familiar with Lebanon. You know, we played them last year. I think it was in the third round, right after they got beaten Riverdale last year. So Lebanon definitely has our attention. They've got our respect because we know exactly what kind of athletes are on the field when Riverdale's defense is out there, and they've scored 40-something points 2 years in a row against Riverdale's defense, which is just like unheard of. And so they did a great job over there at Coach Gentry and all of his staff. He's got some real good assistants with him as well. So we definitely know what we're getting into. It's crazy that it's a second round game. I just can't believe we're playing them in the second round. But it's going to be a tough one. And like I said, we know all about their senior class. You know, most of those guys were juniors last year, so they got a bunch of people returning from the third round team that they had last year.
Mm-hmm. And of course, when your team wins as much as yours has the last few weeks, it's kind of hard to pick apart a lot of things that you'd like to improve on. But what are some of those kind of things that even, you know, in November, you're still wanting to get just a little better, or the kind of their edges to round out as you're starting to kind of embark on your playoff journey here?
Yeah, you know, we feel like we're playing good on all three phases of the game. You know, like tonight we had a blocked field goal. We had a punt that was taken back for a touchdown. So been scoring a lot on special teams here lately, so I think that's big, and you know, whenever you get into the playoffs. So we just want to be, you know, kind of well-rounded, good in offense, defense, special teams, and that sort of thing. And, you know, our kicker, we feel like, is one of the best in the state. You know, Jacob Taylor's up for Mr. Football and had a great night again tonight.
Who was the punter you had that won Mr. Football a few years ago that had like an 88-yard punt versus Mount Juliet?
Yeah, that's actually his brother.
Oh.
His brother, yeah, older brother, did a heck of a job for us and pretty much won the Mount Juliet game for us. Had two punts that completely flipped the field on a rainy, cold night, and helped us win that ball game for sure.
I remember that vividly, that punt. We were like, my goodness, that ball's never going to come down, and it did. Let me ask you, Coach, before you go, we're talking to Oakland football coach Kevin Creasy. We always talk about your offense, but my goodness, your defense the last four games has given up 13 points, a couple more shutouts before that. A very underrated part of your football team, from looking from our view. But that's what you expect, right? That defense to be as tough as they are every week that you have?
Yeah, you know, we started the season not only playing some really good offenses. We played them without Eric Taylor, and Eric Taylor coming back is a big help, you know, and it's helped us, you know, hold a lot of opponents to just a few points. And like I said, it's one of those deals where our last, you know, few opponents – you know, not exactly what we saw early in the year with the Ravenwoods and the team out of Mississippi, you know, that's won three state championships in a row. So we saw some high-powered offenses early, and the last few weeks, totally different. But at the same time, our defense with Eric Taylor is a whole lot better. And so they're playing real good right now, and hopefully we can carry it over.
Fantastic. Coach, as always, thanks for joining the show. We appreciate you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good night, Coach.
All right, thanks.
All right, Coach Kevin Creasy in Oakland rolling there. Before we go, we'll take a break here in a few moments. I'll get your thoughts. We're in 6A right now. All right, so Coffee County, Blackman, Lebanon, Oakland. Lebanon, let's be honest. Lebanon's got a tall task. I mean, they knocked off Riverdale tonight. It was a great win. But you look at Oakland, mm-hmm. the success they have. But again, you know, anything can happen. And we've seen it every single week that we do this. But that's going to be one heck of a football game, too. Because, you know, he talked about Lebanon last week, played in the third round last year. I'm sorry. They played in the third round last year. And the coach knows what Lebanon's going to bring. And I think this will be a really good football game. It might be close. It might not. We'll find out. But I like the matchup, and I like Lebanon. Again, you said earlier, play at the house money. They got nothing to lose next week versus Oakland, so it should be a good game.
Yeah, it should be. And if they're able to control the clock a little bit, I mean, it's like the old football adage that if you're at least able to sit on the ball for a while and limit plays. I know Coach McNeil from Friendship Christian was on with us earlier today, and a lot of their opponents, it's because they've been so dominant, are taking that approach. They're waiting to the last possible second on the play clock to snap the ball and just limit the possessions. If you can at least limit the possessions, be efficient in those possessions, by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, it's a one or two score game and you're in it at least. You don't want it to get into the running clock or going into the last quarter and you got to be able to erase a three touchdown lead. I mean, Riverdale did it tonight, but you don't want to have to be in Riverdale's position, especially when the opponent is Oakland.
I totally agree. I'm looking at the 6A bracket again. Of course, Oakland and them are up top in the bottom bracket. I'm going to go on a limb, man. I just think Brentwood, something about them and that defense and the way they play, and they don't get talked about a lot. I just got some weird feeling that they're going to go a long way, possibly to the state title game. I mean, they did it a few years ago. They played Oakland. But I don't know, Elijah, something mm-hmm. about this team that they're very underrated, and I just think they held Collierville to 7 tonight, which is a good football team. And I don't know. Something about Brentwood. That's my take on this, that they can make it all the way to the semifinals.
And it's not a bad take, just because when your defense is that good, you're going to be in every game, right? Like, if you're able to just manufacture that many stops. Like, we looked at the resume of this Brentwood High School team earlier in the year. Oakland didn't even do it, where they held Blackman under 21 points. I mean, Blackman's an offense that is mad if they only accumulate 430 yards of offense. And Brentwood held them 2 touchdowns to start off the year and then held Father Ryan to 10 the following week. Like, this is an elite level 6A defense. And it doesn't get talked about because they're not putting up a lot of the sexy numbers that teams like Blackman or Oakland are doing. But when you're that great defensively, you're just going to be in every game. And if they have to Iowa the hell out of you to be able to beat you in these games, I mean, a win is a win. And they're tough. They're gritty. Like, defensively, they fit the mold of a team that can pull off upsets. They make for a really good underdog, which it's hard to say, accuse a 7-3 Brentwood High School team of being an underdog. But here they are, the scrappy underdogs in 6A, because they're doing things to teams like Collierville, like holding them to 7. And that's not anything that's happened to them all year long.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. We got a special guest. We got the big boss man. Chase McCabe's going to join us next as we finish out this week. It's our 12th week on the air for the Blitz, but round one high school football tonight. A lot of great things that happened. So we'll talk to Chase McCabe. That's next. You listen to the Game Blitz here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by National Playmakers Academy and Apple Collision Center. All right, welcome back to the Game Blitz. By the way, Tears for Fears, best sounding concert I've ever been to. They were with Hall & Oates back in 2017. But I digress. All right, let's bring on a guy who should be in the commercial with Troy Polamalu and Trace and with Patrick Mahomes. He's never not working. Let's bring in the big program director for 102.5, Chase McCabe. Chase, thanks for staying up on a Friday night with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, this is exciting for me because I started on this show. I mean, I bugged you and you wouldn't.
Right.
Basically, you were like, leave me alone. And so you let me be on this show way back when. So happy to jump on with you guys.
By the way, you sound like Johnny Cash in that Simpsons episode. You're coming in loud, deep, and clear.
Well, good. I'm glad I sound good.
All right. You texted me. You got three games that intrigue you next week in round two. Let's have them, and Elijah and I will comment on them.
Yeah, I want to hear what you guys think. I'm going to start in 3A, and these are two programs we have talked about a lot. And Joe, I know Waverly, near and dear to you with everything that you know they went through. But East Nashville taking on Waverly, I love this. I think these are two really good football teams, and to me it's a coin flip. But I'm really excited about this one. So what do you guys think?
I love it, too, just for the simple fact that these are two of the best teams in 3A are going to meet up in the second round right there. By the way, the athletic director at Waverly, Trey Graves, is a McGavick graduate, so that shows you how great Waverly is. But, no, East Nashville. Elijah and I have talked about East Nashville all year long about how great they've done. Mm-hmm. Hit a road bump the last 2 weeks, but they toughed it out against White House tonight. They win 14-10. Now they got to travel down to Waverly. This is a matchup of two teams that are completely different. In every way, it should be great. Elijah, what do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be a really good game, and the fact that we get this in the second round is delicious, especially for this show. But I have a huge concern with East Nashville at the line of scrimmage. Coach Jamal Stewart joined us earlier tonight, and he talked about some stuff going down, and they're having to play some freshmen and sophomore at some really pivotal offensive line positions. And the way Waverly's played this year, they can exploit that. They're playing their best football right now, and East Nashville was kind of walking backwards into the playoffs on a two-game losing streak. And maybe the win tonight got them back on track, and maybe got them back to where those sophomores and freshmen that are on the offensive line that are going to be starting for the rest of the year, maybe got them in a position to where they're confident enough to be able to rise up to that challenge. But I kind of like Waverly in this matchup a lot, and it would be unfortunate for East Nashville season to end short of where it did last year. But if the offensive line is that big of a question mark, a team like Waverly probably isn't the best elixir to fix it.
All right, Chase, what's game two?
5A, we'll go there. Nolensville taking on White County. I've kind of made Nolensville my just go-to this year. Whenever I'm on Fox 17 with Jill Jelinek, I bring them up. I love the program. And Joe, you remember this when Summit started. We kind of followed them for their first few years. That's kind of how I felt about Nolensville. And to see them get to this point where they're one of the best teams in the mid-state in high school football, not only their classification, mm-hmm. and they got to go up against White County now. I mean, the path for them is not easy by any means. White County at 8-2, no slouch. They beat Franklin County tonight. I think that's going to be a fun one at Nolensville.
We totally agree. And before you think Nolan's going to run away with this, White County likes to score points, and they like to give up points. They like to score points. Elijah and I have been talking about them all year. Yes. They've scored 54, 59, mm-hmm. 43, 35, 46, 53, and scored 49 tonight, beating Franklin County 49-30. Do not sleep on White County. I know Nolensville's good, and I know Coach Derek at Nolensville is going to preach to his team. Do not sleep on White County, because this is a really good football team that won its first ever playoff game in school history tonight. So we know this team well. And Elijah, I think if I'm Nolensville, I'm going to be very prepared for this White County team.
You have to be, and you know the game plan is going to be this. Trip Pinion and Malachi Dowell are going to run the ball a whole lot. Chase, I don't know if you heard it tonight, but in White County's win against Franklin County, they scored 49 points. They did not pass the ball once, and Malachi Dowell ran for over 300 yards.
I love it.
He's they're an old-school team. They love to run the ball, and they do so. They still have this high-octane offense without ever really having to pass the ball. So every team that plays them knows pretty darn well what they're going to do every time the ball is snapped, and they still can't stop it. And despite being able to still, you know, milk a lot of the clock for a lot of the games, White County still puts up these crazy offensive outputs. So it's not going to be a runaway game for Nolensville. As great as Nolensville is and as much of a legit 5A contender as they are, it's not a runaway game for them, because White County is just built to not get blown out. And if they can continuously move the chains, like, they're going to find themselves in the game. One thing Joe and I discovered too is that out of the 10 regular season games White County played, 5 were decided by one possession. They play in really tight games. They are 8-2 at the end of the regular season. They could have easily been 5-5. So, I mean, they're going to be in the game. It's all going to be about red zone defense. If Nolensville's able to keep Malachi Dowell and Tripp Pinion out of the end zone, they'll win the game.
Elijah, I know this. You just made Mike Vrabel's night because he heard that stat. That's probably going to have to be his game plan on Sunday if Malik Willis has to play again. Don't pass the ball tickets. One time.
Yeah, not one time. He probably just bought tickets to that game. You'll probably see him in attendance, actually.
No doubt.
All right, Chase, game three.
Game three, I look, I can't ignore 6A. I know that we spent a lot of time talking about 6A, but got a lot of good matchups. Some interesting ones tonight with Lebanon beating Riverdale. That was pretty crazy.
Thrilling.
You know, two overtimes in that game. But Beach taking on Smyrna. I really like the Beach Buccaneers this year at 9-1, and they beat, sorry, Joe, your McGavick Raiders 49-22. Smyrna at 8-1. This will be at Beach. I give the edge to Beach, but I think this is going to be a good one as well.
All right, so we had Coach Brian Coleman from Summit on earlier tonight. It kind of previewed a bunch of teams. Talked about Beach, about how they just, and it's kind of the consensus, Beach just, you know, I said that today, they just push you down the field, and he agreed. He's like, they just run, and they run, and they run, and they wear you down, and they wear you down. Smyrna has a great defense. This should be a fantastic football game. I think Beach gets it, and I'm with you on a very intriguing matchup, but I think Beach is on a collision course with Cane Ridge, and I think Beach is on a collision course with winning a state championship in 6A. This is a good football team. This will be a good test for Beach next Friday night. Elijah?
Yeah, a collision course to play in Chattanooga is a good way to put it. Like, I love the Smyrna team, and they've had some really impressive wins, especially earlier on in the season. And there's really nothing that Smyrna's done to make me not believe in them at all. Like, they're a really good team. It's just, you look at this Beach team, and a lot of their wins are blowouts, and they're blowouts against teams that we have accepted as being legitimate contenders. You go back and you pull up a lot of their games from earlier this year. I mean, they had their only loss is a 3-point loss to Farragut, who won tonight, also a legit team in 6A. On the road, they had that loss. They beat Henry County, who was my pick to win 5A. Blow out Hendersonville, blow out Clarksville, who ended up having a really good year. Blow out Summit, blow out West Creek, blew out Springfield, who has one of the best defenses in the country, and they beat them in the state, and they beat them 42-10. Springfield doesn't get blown out like that. And then one of the best defenses in the state too, in 6A, in Brentwood High School, who we've talked about all night about how good their defense is. Scored 27 points on, and one of the largest outputs, or that was the largest output anyone's ever put on Brentwood High School this season. Beach seems destined to have their final game this year played where the Tennessee Chattanooga Mocs play their games on Saturdays. So I like them. Smyrna's had a fantastic season. It's just, unfortunately, this is where the cards lay, and they have to face a buzzsaw in the second round.
All right, Chase, thoughts on the Memphis 6A teams taking over the Middle Tennessee 6A teams? Brentwood was the only team that won. Yeah. Ravenwood lost to Germantown. Independence lost to Houston. And Centennial lost to Bartlett. So Brentwood moves on like that. I was talking to a guy earlier on Twitter, and he's like, well, there's a lot of reasons that, you know, Memphis won. I'm like, well, that's fine. But I just never seen Memphis come and dominate the Williamson County 6A boys like they did tonight. It was kind of eye-opening to me a little bit.
No, I agree with you, Joe. That was something that really, you know, stood out to me. We were texting about it earlier of just, you know, it kind of surprised me, especially even though if you look at the records that, you know, Germantown had a better record than Ravenwood, but Ravenwood's played some tough games this year. They, you know, that Brian, Will Hester likes to you know, play a variety of different opponents to help his team. So that one definitely surprised me, a 4-seed beating a 1-seed tonight. And Germantown now has to play Houston, as you mentioned, beat Independence. So that one's going to be interesting. And I like Brentwood, even though Bartlett's 8-2. Bartlett's a 1-seed. Brentwood's scrappy, always has been. I think that's going to be a fun one. But that was certainly a little bit eye-opening that the Memphis teams could come in here and take care of business tonight. I want to make one more point about what Elijah said of Beach getting to the state championship. I don't necessarily disagree, but I do think there's one team that they're going to have to get through that could have something to say about it, and that's Cane Ridge, because Cane Ridge was all over Gallatin tonight. They're 9-1. They got Clarksville next week. But I think that if both teams win next week, Beach gets through Smyrna, Cane Ridge gets through Clarksville, That's going to be a fun one on November 18th.
I totally agree. I think, you know, a collision course with Oakland in the state in the 6A final could happen. But as we've seen, I mean, it's just one Friday night and you're not playing that offense at Beach. Is it rolling like it should be? And Smyrna could beat it. I mean, any team could beat them that way.
Sure.
But if you look at what it happens right now, I just don't, you know, if everything plays out, at least in my mind, it's Beach and Oakland in 6A. And, you know, you could talk about two teams that run the wing T football. That game might be over in 40 minutes because they won't throw a pass. They'll just run the ball the entire time and the clock will keep going. But that's it. But the best thing about it is it's exciting football. And I spoke to you guys earlier today on the midday show. I was like, I'm so excited for round one, these great matchups. And, you know, Elijah and I are watching these games play out tonight. Mike, we picked the Lebanon and Riverdale game to be fantastic. Double overtime. I mean, it was just a simple, incredible night of high school football when it mattered the most, Chase.
No, I agree. And this is what I love about this and I love about this show and what, you know, you guys do. And glad that we were able to bring it back this year because so many people had asked, where's the game blitz? You guys gonna ever bring it back? And when I took over, that was one of the first things that I got asked. So I'm glad that it has happened. And you know, for you and Elijah that cover high school football, I'll give a hat tip to Jill Jelinek at Fox 17 for what she does to cover high school football, because I just feel like you're not seeing it as much anymore. There's a lot of other things going on. It's the purest form of football. And you know, for the kids that are driving back from Memphis right now or driving from East Tennessee or wherever and win or lose and hear their names, their schools called, that's what matters the most, and that's why we do this.
Amen, brother. Mm-hmm. Chaser, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Great job.
We can't go anywhere till Kenny plays the music, and there it is. All right, Elijah, we will reset and get ready for what should be a fantastic week two next week. I appreciate your insight and your research on all these games and teams, man. It means a lot, Elijah. Thank you.
I appreciate you, Big Joe Dubin. Let's do it again next week.
Absolutely. All right, Elijah Campbell, thank you. Many thanks to our guy behind the glass, Kenny Adams, who makes this show go and everything. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks to all the coaches. We will see you back here next week on the Game Blitz brought to the Apple Collision Center and National Playmakers Academy.